Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world.
Hello, everyone. My name is Diego Alfonso, and I'm with the Florida Aviation Network, broadcasting live and in the clear from the Howard Hughes exhibit in the Florida Air Museum at Sun and Fun. If you just join us, this year, 2013, marks the 39th consecutive year of this fly-in expo and air show all roll into one. In addition, this event is the number 2 of its class in the world. So if you haven't been here ever, you don't know what you're missing. If you've been here before and you're not here today, you're hurting. So get over here and get together with your fellow pilots and aviation enthusiasts. Now, as a host, of course, my job is to interview aviation personalities and aviation enthusiasts. And today, I happen to have as my next guest the president of a Woman of Aviation, Peggy Chabrian. Peggy, hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
And as we were talking before, I just remember, I think we even go back. This happened probably about maybe 8-9 years ago, and we took a picture together at the FAA Safety Center.
Oh, yes, I think you're right.
A group of all you ladies,
yes.
And I was in that mix.
Oh, all right, well.
And I have the picture. I have the picture at home still because they sent me the picture. But anyway, what we would like to ask you, first of all, is to tell us what's in the future now for the women in aviation?
For the organization?
For the organization, yes.
Well, we just finished up our 24th annual conference about 2 weeks ago up in Nashville, Tennessee. We had a record turnout, which we were very excited about. Yeah. But we do a lot of networking and mentoring. We work with, we have chapters all around the world. We have about 78 chapters. And we work with middle school, high school, college age young ladies and young men
right.
to talk about aviation careers. And then we also publish a magazine and do a lot of educational outreach to schools in the areas where the chapters are and with our annual conference. So we're trying to encourage more young ladies to consider learning to fly, whether it's for fun or to go into aviation as a career field, whether it's a pilot or a mechanic, an engineer, a dispatcher, any of the careers in aviation.
Exactly. Well, one of the things I was telling my previous guest is that I've been noticing like a rate of attrition, so to speak, in the pilot population. Mm-hmm. And I think it has a lot to do with us not really doing a good marketing job, a PR job, to really get out there and tell ladies and boys alike.
Yes, that's true.
That, hey, being a pilot is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a pilot. So I'm pretty sure that in your agenda, in your program, the big picture kind of thing, you are heavily promoting that part of the industry.
Yes, and I should say, even though it's women in aviation, we reach out to, you know, schools, boys and girls, and also we have men who are members who support, you know, what we're trying to do. We have a scholarship program. In fact, I'll give you a quick story here.
Sure.
When the organization started, one of the things we wanted to do was provide some scholarships. So that first year we had a raffle. We raised enough money to give out 2 $500 scholarships back in 1996, and well, it was a start. Well, the next year, Northwest Airlines came up to us and said, we'd like to help you with your scholarship program. And I thought, well, great, maybe, you know, $1,000. I said, oh, no, we want to give a type rating. Any airplane that we fly. The winner selected the 747 as the airplane she wanted to get the type rating in. So that kind of jump-started us. But we've, just this year, 2 weeks ago, we gave out $490,000 in scholarships this year. And we've totaled now over $8 million in scholarships since that first 1996.
Wow, that's an impressive figure.
And it's for people wanting to start, you know, private pilots or instrument ratings. There's all different scholarships for engineering, dispatching. So it's we gave out, I think, 67 or 68 different scholarships that totaled that $490,000 this year.
Right. Here's a question that I would like to ask, and I know our viewers will be interested in this, and I really would like to know, because you're the founder.
Yes.
Take us back to that time. What was the thought process? Why this come about? All in right. other words, what was the process that got you started and got you now to where you are? If you can give us a little bit of history there.
Well, I tell people we did things backwards. Usually you start an organization and decide to have an annual convention or conference. We actually started as a conference back in March of 1990. It was Women's History Month was March, and I was at the time an administrator with Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University on their Prescott, Arizona campus, and had been on the Daytona Beach campus for a few years before that. And there were so few women students. There were maybe 3%, 4%. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be, and the very few women faculty, thought, wouldn't it be nice if we could have a day-long conference and bring in some women? And we had Gina Yeager, who had just a few years before flown around the world in the Voyager. We had one of the WASP from World War II came to speak. Moya Lear was there that year, and an astronaut, Dr. Shannon Lucid. And the lady, the students could see that women were out there in aviation and doing things, and that was the start, 1990, with about 150 people. Well, that next year, I went to Parks College. I was a dean there for 5 years and kept running this Women in Aviation Conference through that university. And after about 5 years, people were saying, you know, we come to this conference once a year. How do we join the organization? I don't know. We had about 500 people now coming to the conference, and it was a mix. It was people from the airline industry, from business aviation, general aviation, and the military. And it was men and women, and it was all different career areas, as we mentioned earlier. And so, well, the conference keeps growing. Maybe there is a opportunity for an organization. But my first thought was there's 100 aviation organizations out there, and I get magazines for half of them already. I don't know. But we decided to give it a try, put together a business plan, and now have over 8,000 members. We get close to 3,700 people at our convention, and it just took off. The timing was right, and we've just had a good bunch of people that have helped make this a success.
That is great. Now, I want to ask you another, and this would be probably a little bit more personal, and I'd like you for you to let us know, how did you become interested in aviation? Well, in other words, the first thought and the second thought.
Okay.
All right, if we can take you there.
All right. I was a student in college working a couple part-time jobs, and the summer between my junior senior year, one of the jobs was at a restaurant. And one of the customers who came in on a regular basis was a pilot, an aircraft owner, and he was always trying to get people to come out to the airport and go for a flight and get introduced to aviation. I wasn't so sure, but a friend of mine who worked there said, well, she'd like to go, and I thought, all right. Well, she didn't show up that morning. I did. And he pulled the airplane out of the hangar, and it was a 1946 air coupe. He called it Old Shaky, which didn't help on the confidence level there that first time. And I told him, I said, no, I've never been in an airplane, commercial airline. I've never been to an airport. I was 21 years old, but I said, just go around the airport one time and then bring it right back down if I don't like it. He promised he would. Well, as soon as we took off, this was the Collegedale, Tennessee airport outside of Chattanooga. It's a beautiful day, and I thought, wow, this is really great. So we went, and he said, well, how do you like it? I said, keep flying. So we flew, 20, 30 minutes. And then a couple weeks later, went back out to the airport, went for another flight, and then somebody let me go in their 150 and let me actually handle the controls. That was it. I started taking flying lessons, changed majors in college. And
this happened where?
That was at the Collegedale Airport in Tennessee, and I went to Middle Tennessee State University.
Oh,
in Murfreesboro.
Actually, I was there maybe 4 years ago. The FAA contracted with them for the technical advanced aircraft course, and I was there for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
I was just telling Ernie yesterday that I can never pronounce the name of the town.
Murfreesboro.
Oh, my
Is
God. I don't even want to go there because I mess it up. Right. But now, going back to history, I want to tell you now, usually I'm probably going to break a rule here because the interviewer should never tell a story. That's the interviewee's job.
Oh, okay.
But I think this one is really interesting, and I think you're going to get a kick out of this. My first airline job, my first co-pilot job, the captain was a lady. This goes back a few years when that was not the usual sight.
Right.
It was always men. And I didn't know this until the time of the flight. Because when I came to the desk to see the schedule of my flight, I saw the first initial and the last name. So I went. Co-pilot is the job is to do the pre-flight. And it was early in the morning. It was kind of dark. And I see this lady. I'm doing the pre-flight. And I see this lady working to the airplane. And I thought that she was a stewardess or a flight attendant. A big mistake. Oh. Although nothing happened, you know, but she put me in my place right away. She's always, "You Mr. Alfonso?" I says, "Yes." "Well, I'm Captain so-and-so." But let me tell you, I flew with her probably over 8 months, 9 months. I learned a whole bunch of stuff because this lady was born at an airport. Hmm. Her father owned an airport. She was involved in aviation since day one. Uh-huh. And she was just had a world of knowledge about aviation. And she was a very good person on top of that. And she flew, I think she was one of the first all-lady crews in a 737 or something like that. You know, there's been different lady crews, right. First ones, like the C-130.
C-130.
So they have shown themselves, you know, all around. So the work that you're doing, I'm a pro aviation individual. Uh-huh. I want everybody to be a pilot.
There you go.
Everybody. Everybody that can hold a medical and that really don't have any mental or physical problems that would prevent them from flying, I want them in a cockpit. And I'm pretty sure that that's your thought as well.
Okay. Too, sure.
So now, what is in the works now in the near future for the organization?
Next year will be our 25th anniversary conference, which means, of course, I was only 10 years old when we started this.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to be over in Orlando, and we're going to be kicking off the celebration actually in October this year in Prescott, which is where we had that first conference.
Right.
But we've outgrown. We can't fit the big conference there anymore. Right. But a kickoff celebration with Embry-Riddle, and then in Orlando at Disney for the big 25-year celebration. And then we're going to wrap up the year in October 2014 in Daytona with Embry-Riddle because they were the organization that helped us get our start. So,
that's correct. Yes. Uh-huh. I remember I was a guest speaker at the Orlando chapter probably about maybe 6-7 years ago. The lady that was the president of the chapter, she was at the Orlando Executive Airport. I can't remember her name. Anyway, I knew her, and then she asked me if I wanted to be a guest speaker, and I was, and I had a great time.
Great.
But there were a lot of guys there, too.
Sure. And that's why I said women aviation is men and women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't, I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people don't know that,
right.
Because a lot of these ladies have husbands.
That's true.
And they also come with them to the, you know, to those meetings. So it's a very, very, very good thing. Now, in closing, here's what I'd like you to do. You have the floor and you have the means to tell all the ladies and all the people that you want to address out there about your program and what to do to join your organization.
Oh, all right. Well, we'd love to have anyone who's listening to the broadcast to take a look maybe at our website, which is wai.org, and see more about the organization and the benefits of the membership. The member dues are only $39 a year, includes the magazine subscription, Aviation for Women, and we have special student rates, too, so we want the young people to get involved, so we have a special offer for them. And again, particularly if you're here in the Central Florida area, we want to see you next March. 6-8 over in Orlando for our special 25th anniversary.
Great. Well, Peggy, unfortunately, we have reached that point in
you.
The interview that we're going to have to say goodbye.
All right. Well, thank you.
And I really appreciate you being here. You're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
And I'm local in Orlando, so if there's anything I can do to help, you...
We'll be getting in touch.
You
back
definitely
in touch.
Do.
Okay. All right.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.